Will you pray with me, please? Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this Sunday morning and the opportunity to share your word with your people. Lord, may you bless this word and your word wherever it is proclaimed throughout the world today. May it be a word of pardon and peace to confirm those who are your own and to convert those who have yet to come to saving faith in you. May your word pass from the ear to the heart, from the heart to the lip, and from the lip to the life, that as you have promised, your word may achieve the purpose for which you send it, the salvation of your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Every wise pastor knows that preaching about the topic of money is the worst thing that you can do. Money is personal. It's a very private thing, and it should stay that way. And heaven forbid that you address the topic of money, lest you lead your people to excessive stress. It just ought not to be done. They can't handle it, after all. And not only that, but churches are often criticized for addressing the topic of money, being criticized for just caring about money and not really caring about people. So heaven forbid if one of you actually brought a friend to church for the first time and there's Pastor Brad up front talking about money. Oh, Pastor, why this Sunday? My friend finally came with me to church. Oh, you're the worst. Well, thankfully, this pastor is way too smart for that. I would never preach a sermon about money. In fact, I don't want to offend anyone, and I certainly don't want to put any stumbling blocks in anyone's way for them to grow in their relationship with the Lord. But if this were a money sermon, then I might start the message off by sharing a true story. This is a story of my wife and I living and working in Vista, California. I was there completing my vicarage year at Faith Lutheran Church in Vista. My wife was there teaching in a third grade classroom. On one of our small vacation trips, we went up north to San Francisco to visit some friends. And one night, we were out on the town and we had dinner at a restaurant. We came out of that restaurant and a man from the sidewalk approached us asking for money. After his rather lengthy plea for cash, he said, "Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. What's the best nation in the world?" Kind of thought that was a weird question. But he said, "No, really, what's the best nation in the world?" Still no one said anything. Finally, he said, "What's the best nation in the world?" And I finally answered, "The United States of America." And he shook his head, "Donation." And as I reached for my wallet to give this guy some money, because I thought the joke was funny, my wife grabbed my arm in kind of a vice grip-like hold, as if to say, "Yeah, it's funny, but it's not that funny. Don't you dare give this man that money." If this were a money sermon, I'd start it off with a humorous story like that. And then I would launch into a lengthy list of reasons why some people may not give. Reasons like money is tight, revenue is down, stocks are struggling, inflation is on the rise, interest rates are going up, trust in the government and in banks and in institutions is going down. The midterm elections are coming up. We just can't make ends meet, and the future is so uncertain. And this list of reasons not to give would remind me of another story. This one was from my childhood. I was living with my family in Franklin, Indiana, and my family was going to church, and that Sunday morning, my friend Joel was going to sit with us. No, not Kaiser, not Eden. His name was Joel. And he was the pastor's kid. And so his dad was leading worship and preaching. His mom that particular morning was in the nursery volunteering. And so Joel was sitting next to me with my family. When the time for the offering came, the plates being passed down the pew, and my dad gave both Joel and I a dollar to put in the offering plate. We thought that was pretty cool. Unbeknownst to my father, Joel's mom had given him a quarter to put in the offering plate. So Joel reaches in his pocket and pulls out that quarter and looks at the quarter and looks at the dollar, looks at the quarter, looks at the dollar, puts the dollar in his pocket and puts that quarter in the offering plate. Why is it sometimes so hard for us to share money with others, especially with God and his church? If this were a money sermon, I would have us reflect for a moment on why we give in the first place. We give because God is God, because God is good, and because he's asked us to share a portion of what he's so generously given to us with him and with others, with his church, with those in need, with family and friends and their times of need. He's asked us to do this because it has implications in our relationship with him. Because being a good steward by giving is one of the ways God helps us grow in our relationship with him. If this were a money sermon, I would also share with you some scripture passages, starting in the Old Testament, about how God's prophets and faithful people of old have reflected on this whole idea of giving, sharing with you some of the Lord's own words with regard to stewardship. I might share a passage from Ecclesiastes 5, where King Solomon writes, "Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it. So what good is wealth except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers?" And from the prophet Isaiah, "Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and you will eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest food." And then the Lord's words from Malachi, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." But just to be safe and secure and certain, I would not only choose passages from the Old Testament, I would also look to the New Testament for Bible passages and support from the apostles and maybe from Jesus himself regarding this whole idea of giving. Jesus cautioned us with his words in his Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, "No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And then the record of the apostles as they're starting the Christian church, "With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." And then also from the apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 9, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." The truth I would want to share with you is that if this were a money sermon, that the things of this world are entrusted to us by God. They are not fully ours. God gives them to us to take care of for a time, and he would like us to share a portion of those with him and with others. Therefore, God does call us to cheerfully give to him. Why? Because your heart will always follow God's money. Your heart will always follow God's money, and God desires to be close and connected with your heart. If this were a money sermon, I would also share with you how famous people in the Christian faith throughout history have talked about and taught about this whole idea of stewardship and encouraged others to give. I would share quotes with you from people like Martin Luther, who wrote, "I have held many things in my hands and I've lost them all, but whatever I placed in God's hands, that I still possess." And missionary Jim Elliot, who said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And Presbyterian pastor and former chaplain to the U.S. Senate, Richard Halverson, "Jesus Christ said more about money than about any other single thing, because when it comes to a man's real nature, Money is of first importance. Money is an exact index to a man's true character. All throughout Scripture, there is an intimate correlation between the development of a man's character and how he handles his money. And pastor and author Randy Alcorn, he challenges us when he says, we assume that God has multiplied our assets so we can keep them, when in fact he has multiplied them so that we can distribute them. And not so famous, but family friend of mine, Pastor Heath Curtis, who's a pastor in Illinois, he wrote, true joy is found not in storing up things for this world, for the things of this world won't last. True joy is found in clinging to Christ, who poured out his life for you on the cross and now gives you his life in his word, baptism, absolution, and the Lord's Supper. If this were a money sermon, I would take you from the scriptures of the Lord to those who've come before us in the faith, to my own personal experience, and share openly and honestly with you. And the first thing I would share with you would be this, that God, in his grace, has always taken care of me and my family. God and God's people have always taken care of me and my family, and I'm truly grateful for that. And even though we live in a sin-filled and fallen world, as we look back on our lives with those eyes of faith, we see that while life was not perfect, we see God's hand of protection and provision for us. The second thing I would share with you is that I've never not had enough money in life. I've always had enough money, but I always haven't managed it that well. That there are times in my life where I've spent money on things that I didn't really need, that I thought would satisfy or bring fulfillment, but ultimately did not. And so if I ever struggled with money, it wasn't necessarily God's fault, it was my own fault. Maybe you've been like me a time or two, and I've struggled with managing your money, living within your means. Thanks be to God for his grace and his goodness in our lives. Thanks be to God that with him there is forgiveness through Jesus. He can forgive our sins for the times when we've fallen short, and by his Holy Spirit, he can help us to do better. Third, I would share with you this. As I live and work as a pastor, I come across generous people from time to time. And I can tell you this. I've never known a generous person who is not also a joyful person. There's something about generosity and joy that go hand in hand. Joyful people are generous people, and generous people are joyful people. And we have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives because of his love and forgiveness to us and that promise of eternal life. Friends, if this were a money sermon, I would start to wrap things up. And then I would say that God has your best interest in mind. He loves you. He knows you. He cares for you. He understands your struggle, your challenges, and he knows that what you need to support your body and life and to support your family. And he wants a deeper relationship of truth and trust with you. And part of that relationship comes by you sharing his blessings with him and with others. That's the way stewardship works. It's not just about giving money. It's about improving your relationship with the Lord, something that the Holy Spirit can help you do. Friends, the author of Hebrews says this, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And if this were a money sermon, I would ask you to breathe a prayer to God with me, thanking him for his goodness, his grace, and his generosity in your life and in my life. And then I would ask you to also pray for the presence and power of the Holy Spirit to help you give faithfully and joyfully and cheerfully to the Lord and to the work of his church and to the causes that promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, as we wrapped up, if this were a money sermon, I would say, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thankfully for you, this isn't a money sermon. Because I'm way too smart to do that. and you guys couldn't handle it anyway. Amen.